Well, Dale called me about Wednesday or Thursday. Must have been Thursday. Saying he was sick. He's supposed to speak Sunday, and then the doctor told me he had the seven-day, so he was going to be out Sunday. So he's wondering if I could jump in here and fill in for him. So I put some thoughts together, and I'm going to have kind of a discussion like we did a few months back, call upon you guys to help out a little bit as well. I have a track I want to run on and some things I want to cover, but feel free at times for you guys to jump in there and discuss with me. Also, next week, Brian Robinson, a brother who's a missionary to Russia, he will be here, Lord willing, Sunday morning, and that'll also be our lunch dinner, fellowship dinner as well, so encourage everybody to come out for that. So that'll be good. All right, well, let me pray, and we'll look into the scriptures and see what God has for us. Our Father, we do thank you that we can sing songs of praise and worship to you, that we have your word, the word of God, and we know what is written there is truth, that you do not lie, and what is written there is for our learning, and help us this morning to be taught from you, to learn from you. And we ask for your help and strength to deliver the message in the power of your Spirit. In the Lord Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Well, how many of you have experienced, you just get your paycheck from work, and you go home and you gather all your bills? By the time you start writing all your checks to these bills, your money is gone. I have been there. There just isn't enough money. It's like plenty of bills, and it seems like they keep going up more and more, and your paycheck gets smaller and smaller. But as I was thinking about that, this morning we're going to look at three biblical ways, one to stretch our dollars, even though that's hard to believe. But what does the scripture say? How do we stretch our dollars? Secondly, we're going to look at how to shrink your dollars. That's what we want to avoid. And then thirdly, how to spend your dollars. And you'll see what I mean by that as we get into it. But stretching our dollars, I think everybody would like to do that. And what does scriptures have to say regarding how do we stretch our dollars? You know, at times we have visitors come through our doors, and as we get to know them, they come out two or three times. It's amazing. And they usually come to the 11 o'clock meeting. What do you suppose is one of the, when we talk to them, what is some of their first observations or comments? One's the women's head covering. That's a pretty obvious one. But there's another one that stands out. You don't take an offering. Believe it or not, that perplexes them that we don't take an offering during this meeting. Nothing saying that we can't, but we've chose to keep it to the worship meeting where mainly it's believers, and it's a time where you give to the Lord. But it's interesting how that really speaks to them, that we don't take an offering during this time. It's like, surely we could probably get another $20 or $50 or $100. But really, that's not our goal, is to see how much money we can take from everybody. Not as that's take, but you know, try to take every opportunity whenever we meet, let's pass the hat. But and even as I thought about that, you'd ask yourself, well, what does giving to the Lord have to do with stretching your dollars? And we're going to look at four portions of Scripture and see what principle God lays down regarding giving, and not that I give in order to receive, but God says basically, we'll find out through these Scriptures, as you give to the Lord, He in a sense will stretch your dollars. So I'm going to call upon some guys. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians 9, starting with verse 6, and read 6 through 8. And if somebody, one of the guys gets that, we're not necessarily going to spend a lot of time on these portions, but we're going to look at four of these regarding stretching our dollars and see what God has to say about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, who has that, wants to read? Well, we have enough times that five or six guys that when it's all said and done, I may be able to read, but
6-8.
6-8, yeah, chapter 9.
But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work.
Okay, what's being discussed here? I'm just gonna I'll open these up for discussion. But what's the verses here telling us? What's the subject?
Giving's
a subject, and he likens it to what? How does he liken this giving? What's the picture he's using?
Sowing
seeds. It's like the farmer going out, and as he sows seeds, he's gonna what? You know, 4 or 5, 6 months down the road, he's going to reap. He's going to reap more than he sows. But now if he doesn't sow his seeds, what happens? If he hangs on to that seed, there will be no harvest. And it's almost like the farmer saying, I have this bushel of corn, or seed corn, I'm not sure how the technical terms is, but in a sense that's our income maybe, and as if But he has that seed. If he has that bushel there, he says, I don't want to plant this bushel. If I plant it, I'm not going to have anything left. But in a sense, that's not going to work. As he plants, he's going to reap a greater harvest as a result of sowing that seed. And in this portion, it speaks about sowing and reaping, and let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Now, what's trying to be implied there? As he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. What is God trying to tell us there?
You shouldn't feel like you're required to give it. You give from your heart because you feel the needs there that you want to be the one supplying, not that you're being forced to or coerced into it. As you feel led.
As you feel led. That there's a spiritual exercise, I think, that, you know, we take an offering every Sunday morning, and I get paid every 2 weeks, so I don't put something in the offering every Sunday. I know some people want to just for the sake of, as part of their worship, but, it's good for us to pray about, Lord, what would you have me to give as I purpose in my heart? Lord, out of this paycheck, what should I give to you this Sunday for the expenses? I know Mike handed out some of us expense sheets, what the chapel does, throughout the year. I had a kind of a grand total. MUD, we have about $1,000. OPPD, about $1,000. Supplies, so forth. There's quite a few expenses that, we incurred through the year. And God says we won't look at all the scriptures, but the scriptures talk about the Christian giving to the Lord. And as I thought about this, does God stretch our dollars as we give to the Lord in a sense? I mean, that's not the word he uses here, but in a sense, we reap more. That's not my motivation for giving, but as we give to the Lord, he says we will reap bountifully. That might not necessarily be financial. But there'll be blessings, I think, that God will honor. As you honor him, he'll honor you. For us, I mean, I'll just try to be practical, and everybody can share as they feel it too. But when I get paid, I look at my check. Well, how much Lord's money do we give? In a sense, all of it's his, but okay, this Sunday, how much out of this check do I want to give to the Lord? And I won't discuss amounts, but it's something we want to consider as we're paying out our bills, not to leave the Lord last. And that I say, okay, let's set aside so much money that we're going to give to the Lord, give to the Sunday morning. And we encourage our kids as well. And if it's a quarter for the kids, or a nickel or a dime, and you think, well, was that going to go very far? Not necessarily. But what did the Lord talk about when he viewed the widow giving her really a couple of pennies, or I don't even know how much it was at that time, a very small amount. But what that told me about regarding the widow is that God is not concerned with dollar amounts. It's the idea of being exercised as you purpose in your heart to give. And I think we could support pretty strong in scriptures that the Christians are to give financially. And this is a subject that we very rarely talk about, mainly because, I don't know really, why don't we? I think we hear a lot of it sometimes on the radio and TV and we try to shy away from it, but it's very heavy in scriptures. I don't know what Larry Burkett says, how much the Lord speaks about this.
Your eyes taught years ago, under the law, they were to give 10%.
Yeah.
Sure, under the law, they give 10%.
Go back and see Ricky. Oh, get away. Go back and see Ricky.
Because it's law.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But that idea that we say we should give a tithe or 10% necessarily, this scripture says give as your purpose in your heart. Just that thought that under the law they gave 10%, we ought to at least do that. That's great.
Right. Right. But it's a good exercise to go through that, in a sense, all that I have, God has given me. And now how can I, in a small way, return thanks to Him and give back to Him? I heard it said, when the heart gets converted, the pocketbook gets inverted. So you have to see, is your pocketbook inverted as far as the things of the Lord? Well, let's look at a couple more. Luke 6:38. We're going to learn our different books of the Bible here. This is still under stretching our dollars. We're going to get four portions of scripture regarding that. Luke 6:38. Who wants to read that one? If you don't volunteer, I may have to actually call upon some.
I'll read that.
All right.
Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use it, will be measured back to you.
Okay. This is speaking of giving, it should be given to you. Now, the rest of this verse, you kind of wonder what's going on there. Does anybody understand what that's saying? About being good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will you put into your bosom? Anybody understand that? Okay, good job. Explain.
So you got a bushel basket, and you fill it full of grain. But that's a good measure. A measure is a quantity. Pressed down, if you ever do this at home, you can actually compact your stuff better. Press it, shake it together, that's, you know, shake it a little bit so it settles some more. And running over, and that's just, you know, overflowing the container. And NIV says, will be poured into your lap. And of course, we understand the term that something was dropped into your lap.
Mm-hmm. So. All right, that's the idea. So here again, it speaks about giving, and yet it's interesting to me that God, again, this is not our motivation for giving, and I don't know, when I hear preachers preach on these verses, sometimes they speak with such motivation that you give because God's going to give so much back in return, and it's like it always just drove me crazy that you give so that you can get, and that's not the right motivation, and therefore, I shied away from these verses. Why don't you want to bring them up? And yet, we can't deny the fact that God says, as you honor me, I will honor you in return. And that doesn't guarantee that you give me a buck, I'll give you $2 next week. But in a sense, He will honor us. And we can't deny the fact that that's what some of these scriptures are speaking of. But I would not want to speak on them just because I felt preachers would manipulate the people to give for the very fact that if you give me $10, God's going to give you $100 next week. And I think that's wrong. But just because someone misuses the verses doesn't mean we should shy away from them and not use them. Okay, let's jump back to the Old Testament. The last book in the Old Testament, Malachi, chapter 3. We have to scoot along here for me to get through all this. Malachi 3, verses 8 through 10. Who wants to read those? Any volunteers? Charles, okay. 8 through 10. Okay, so what's this? Try to sum up this portion. What is this? What's the principle here? Or what is God trying to say? One, he accuses of them, in a sense, accuses them of something. Will a man rob God? Or he asks them a question. And it says, you have robbed me. Well, how have they robbed God? Really, by not acknowledging the blessings God's given them, and in a sense, returning to him in tithes and offerings. And yet God says, if you were to do that, what does he say will happen? This is speaking to the children of Israel at the time. I'll open a window, last half of verse 10, through the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that it'll be not room enough to receive it. So here again, God talks about giving to him. And as I thought, well, maybe this is, in a sense, stretching our dollar. Sometimes we hang on to our money and think, I can't give even $5 to the Lord because I can't spare it. But as I think God says, as you honor me and acknowledge me, he says, I'm going to honor you in return. Let's jump to Proverbs 11. Right after Psalms. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. Here again is a farming term, or kind of a farming picture about scatters. Okay, who has that wants to read? Josh Kleiman, I can see it in your eyes. Okay, so what is this saying? He who scatters. If you're scattering, you think you're giving things away, but what's the scripture say? He increases more. And then there's one who says, I'm going to hang on to it, maybe more than it is right, and what's it say? It leads to poverty. And it says, a generous soul shall be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. And as I looked at just these four, I'm sure there's more that I didn't even come across, but the principle to me is as you give to the Lord in a way that is purpose in your heart and you're not neglecting really other areas of responsibilities, as you honor God, whether it's financial, and this could even go beyond just money in a sense, but he honors you. And I look at that in a sense, he will stretch your dollars. He will make things go a little farther somehow, even though humanly speaking, you don't know how that works.
You know, I've had the same spot in Proverbs 28 down there. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like gold. And I do go hard on that myself. You save your money because, like you said, you're worried about being sure or whatever, but you know, you're trusting in your riches. There's a difference there.
Uh-huh.
If you have faith in the Lord, then you give what is due him and let what be false, because he has also said, oh, Lord, you know, he'll meet you in all your substance.
Right. Right. That's good. Well, I know for me, I don't give in a sense because God's going to give back to me, and I think that's the wrong motivation. I know that as I honor God, he'll honor me, and I may have some hardships at times, but God will honor me, and the other Christians will hopefully rally around and help as well at times that may be tough. But I want to give because God wants me to, and that I appreciate it as a way of returning thanks to him, just like when in the Old Testament, the harvesters went out, they had their grain, they came back and acknowledged to the Lord, basically, that this was of you. And God honored that. So if we want to stretch our dollars, as I call it, believe it or not, I think it's as you honor God with your finances, he will stretch your dollars. Even though that sounds bizarre.
Giving.
You actually... in a sense, your money goes further. Now let's look at shrinking your dollar.
Let's look at Haggai,
and a lot of these will relate. Haggai is a little tougher to find. Who's going to help us out here? Let's see. Okay, say that again, Bill, for those who are... Jonah, Michael... Right before Zechariah,
right after
Zephaniah. If in doubt, look to the front of your Bible, it'll give you a page number.
It's only about three or four books back from the last book of the Bible. The
Old Testament.
About the third book back from the
very end of the Old Testament.
Now, God says if you want to shrink your dollars, in a sense, some of the scriptures we looked at have hinted at, how do you shrink your dollars? In a sense, if you don't
sow,
he says you're not going to reap.
Now, in this case, Haggai, where are we? Haggai chapter 1, verse 2. I'll go ahead and start reading some of these.
Verse 2, it says, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, the people says, the time has not come, the time
that the Lord's house should be built.
Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, and this temple to lie in ruins?
In a sense, these people had their houses all decked out, but God's house was
falling apart.
When it talks about being paneled houses,
and this temple lies in ruins,
in verse 5,
now,
therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts,
consider your ways.
He wants you to think about something. He says, you sow in much, you go out there and throw your seeds out, but he says, you bring in little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves,
but no one is warm.
And he who earns wages to put
into a bag with holes.
In other words, you have holes in your pockets. As you get your money, you think you're going to have a lot. It's like you have holes in your pocket. It just disappears. And again, this is kind of
strange
thinking to think, well, if I had $50,
and in this case, they were using all their income
basically to get their own houses in shape,
little
chariots all decked out probably, and yet God's house
was being neglected.
So what does God say? You know, in a sense, they were saving their money. They had $50. They don't...
I got $50. I'm going to hang on to this.
I have $50 to work with, but...
What was God
doing to these people? What was happening here? It was shrinking their dollars, in a sense.
Their money did not go as far...
They've sown a lot, think they're going to reap a lot.
Good.
Nope, he didn't bless the harvest.
They earn
these wages, and yet,
you know, the car breaks down, or this gets broke, or that gets broken, but the money just
disappears. Your money doesn't go as far. And why is that? Because they weren't honoring God with their finances. They weren't, in this case, taking care of this temple of God. Now, at that time, what did they have? The priests that had to basically live off the income of the people, the food that the people brought. I mean, those poor priests.
What would happen?
They'd have to go get a job, I suppose.
They weren't supposed to.
But, so this is a case where God shrank their money.
Even though,
humanly speaking, you say, I'm going to save this $50. I got $50 here to work with. But it doesn't go as far as the guy who gave the $50.
He winds up,
his money goes further somehow. It's a principle that
you can't
rationally think through,
but God
somehow honors that. Okay. I want to talk about
spending
your dollars here. Let's jump to 2 Kings. We're going to wind up the rest of the time right here in 2 Kings.
This is more towards the beginning of
the Old Testament.
2
Kings chapter 4.
And this
I'm titling Spending Your Dollars.
Okay, everybody there.
2 Kings 4. I'm going to read this portion too, because I don't want to read all the verses, but
Larry Ainsworth
was here a few weeks back, and he actually was in chapter 5 about Elisha and Gehazi. And this has to do with Elisha's
will.
And in verse 8 it says, now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. So here we have Elisha who travels. And here's a lady who says, you know, I see this man of God coming by. I want you to eat dinner here. You have to have a meal. You have to eat. Come on in, and I want
to provide a food
for you. So it became kind of a routine. Every time Elijah came by, he would come into this house. He was welcome to eat here.
And
I was thinking regarding spending our money. I think our first priority is give to the Lord's work, where you fellowship,
the
local church. But sometimes I look at my Lord's money and I say, you know, we're going to have a lot of hospitality this week. I may want to set aside $5 or $10 of my, quote, Lord's money to help provide food that I can actually minister to
somebody.
Because, some, you know, face it,
to minister
to people sometimes costs money. But I don't want to say, well, I can't
do this.
I can't minister to this person because
I don't have the
10 bucks it takes to
get the rolls and
potatoes and carrots, whatever.
And as a result,
I fail to minister
and
be effective sometimes.
So as we
look at the big picture, I want to
sometimes
take out some of my Lord's money.
Again,
not neglecting the local church, but I may say, we like to have hospitality. Maybe I'm going to
set aside
$5 a week
so that I can actually
minister to people through hospitality. And that's the ministry, like this lady did here. We had
a lot of
people Friday night. I decided, well,
I want to need
some more chairs. I was going to take some of my Lord's money and buy those chairs.
Metal
cheap chairs that people can sit on
so they can eat comfortably.
Even though metal chairs aren't that comfortable to sit on and
eat with,
but to provide to use our resources
to minister
to others.
And here's
a case where the
lady, every time
Elisha went by, she fed him. Well, then it goes on, as she said to her husband in verse 9, look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by this regularly.
Please let us
make a small upper room on the wall And let us put a bed for him there,
and a table,
and a chair, and a lampstand,
so it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there.
So she went even further, and actually, I want to make a room for this man of God. I'm going to put a bed up there, I'm going to put a desk, a lamp, and not that we had to go to that extent.
But she was
willing to use her resources to further the work of the Lord. Do us good to realize, read in Hebrews 11, that they declare plainly that they seek another country, these Old Testament saints. And they declare plainly that they are pilgrims and strangers.
We are just passing through this earth.
And what can I do to
minister
in a way that builds God's church?
If it means
I enjoy hospitality, if it means that's the way I
can minister to others,
and let's take some of my Lord's money
and
provide an atmosphere that is conducive
to
the way I want to minister.
And
again, not to neglect responsibility
of
the church. But I didn't need 8 folding chairs. Personally, I don't need 8 folding chairs for Nate,
Justin,
Bethany to sit on.
But I want
those because I minister to more people that way through hospitality. And in this case, she and her husband made an upper room
to minister
to others.
And it's interesting. What
was the blessing that this couple received as a result
of ministering
to Elisha? And
I get her joy
at times. Does anybody know the rest of the story? Let's jump down to verse 13.
And he said to him,
sitting down to her,
look,
you have been concerned for
us
with all this care.
What can I do for you?
Do you want me to speak on your behalf
to the king
or to the commander of the army? She answered, I dwell among my own people. So he said, what then is to be done
for her?
Gehazi answered, she has no son, and her husband is
old.
So he said to her, call her.
When he called
her, she stood in the doorway. About this time next year,
you shall embrace
a son. And she said,
no, my lord.
Man of God, do not lie to your maid. But the woman conceived
her
son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her. And I thought, there's more of this
story.
The son actually ends up dying, but
resurrected
again to life.
But here's a case where
this man and wife
was pouring
their energy sometimes
and time and
resources to Elisha. And was she blessed as a result? Absolutely. And that day, if you didn't have a
kid,
a son especially, I mean, that was a great loss.
And
God would richly bless them because they
took some
energy. He didn't have to have that upper room.
They
didn't have to have that bed upstairs provided there. But they did that to
minister
to God's people. And as a result, she was
blessed
with the son. And I think
in all of us
who are Christians have
a spiritual
gift God's given us. And think through,
what
can I do to more effectively use
my
spiritual gift? Is it my gift evangelism?
My gift
is not evangelism. Now, Marion uses, I brought one
over here.
She uses SBC, Survey and Basic
Christianity,
to go over some friends that do not know the Lord. She likes
to use it.
$8. You could say,
$8.
That's quite a bit to sit down with somebody and
go over.
If it leads somebody to the Lord,
$8 is cheap.
And she uses
this
and it's like, well, I guess what I'm trying to say is, saying, I don't
have
dollars. Hey, man, I don't have $8. Set aside some of your money, if you can, to spend it in a way that helps you more minister to the unsaved, saved. If I like certain tracks, order some tracks. Have those on hand to give out Bibles. Order some Bibles. If I like to help people, but I don't have $5 of gas money, it takes always to help these people. Set aside $5 of Lord's money to put it in your gas tank to minister to others. If I like to encourage people, maybe send them cards. Set aside over $10 to buy cards in the stamps just to mail them out to different ones. And to try to more effectively minister to the Christians or to the unsaved. You know what I'm saying? You follow what I'm...
Sometimes we're getting,
I hear, or even myself, I don't have
$10
to do what I'd really like to do. Well, let's think that through ahead of time.
Let's
save out the $10
and maybe
whatever to the Lord this week,
Sunday
morning, on $10,
I don't give $10.
That I normally would set it aside so that we can effectively minister the way that God's gifted us in.
These
are just a few. I like missions.
I have a mission.
So I see in a mail at times and get a
mail.
We can stay up to date with what on the mission field. Well, my Lord's money, quote, Lord's money,
goes.
So think through that. How do I
spend a dollar,
shrink my dollars, but also spend my dollars effectively?
A couple examples. I got a couple minutes here.
Noah. How
long did Noah build his ark? Well, how long do you think he was pounding away? Was it over 100 years?
120 some years? Well, now he was focused fulfilling God's will there. How many
other lives
do you think Noah spent his time on? Probably very little.
Not